Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Tim Arroyo. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
Well, I am so excited to talk this morning. We went a little long in worship and we got to pray for Mr. Panosian. So I am going to speed through this, but I am thrilled to be a part of this miracles series. Hasn't it been awesome? Oh man, I just feel like the way, hello, there's that graphic. Can we, only Jamie's name is on there? You know what, Jamie actually made that graphic. Come on, man. I'm up here too. I just feel like we need to like just kind of relax and be ourselves. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of why I am the way I am. I don't want us to get all uptight while we're here at church. So I love this topic. I love this topic of miracles. And this series that Jamie has been teaching has just been so important, I feel, for the cultivation of our culture, that miracles are meant to be the byproduct of the authentic Christian life. Like every believer walking in signs and wonders every single day, all the time, that it's not a rare moment in time, but it's the regular practice lifestyle of a believer. Amen? Amen. That's what we're going after. And wherever we're at in our journey, it's totally cool. But when we look at with vision at what we're trying to build as a community, the kind of believers that we have ambition to become, it's the kind that regularly walk in the display of the power of his glory for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the message going forth. And a lot of our conversation has been around the topic of healing, which has been amazing. And we've been seeing a lot of healing take place. But this week, and probably for the next 2 or 3 weeks, as Jamie and I have been talking, we're going to start shifting our focus now onto the prophetic. Everyone say prophetic. And this idea that 1 Corinthians 12 starts to make mention of, it's a concept in the Old Testament of Old Testament prophets, these kind of scary figures that God would raise up in society, and their purpose would be to be spokesmen for God, and they would speak for the Lord unto Israel and unto other nations. And in the same way, there's a New Testament prophetic gift, the same substance that was on their life, on their ministry as Old Testament prophets, is now dispersed, as we see in the New Testament, to the whole church as a gift. Everyone say gift. And the gift of prophecy is not just a one-time, some of you have it, some of you don't, gift, because that's not how the gifts work, in my opinion, exclusively. Oftentimes, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll go and we'll read about these gifts, starting in verse 4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are different diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, the word of faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, prophecy to another, discerning of spirits to another, different kinds of tongues, and so on and so on. And we see all these gifts, and I think a lot of us have come under this belief, like a guy like Jeremy Nelson, who came here a few weeks ago, like, man, that guy just has the gift of healing. That is his gift, right? Which I think is true. I think there are just some things that end up landing on a person's life because they've pursued it, because they've pursued revelation in the word, or they pursued God himself for the increase of that gift. Even the way God handcrafted and designed their mind and their personality partners really well by his design with certain gifts of the Spirit. Example, I have the most like insane imagination you would ever. I'm constantly daydreaming. So it's easy for the prophetic to work through me because that's kind of how it works with me. It's in my imagination, right? And God will literally, some of you are getting weirded out right now. I can feel it. literally the space that God inhabits for me when he speaks to me is my imagination, is the pictures that my mind creates as it's processing information, because that is actually a holy space once he enters the room. And that becomes a space that he begins to speak to me. And so it's just natural for me to be like, oh, wow, I saw a bird in my imagination. Oh, wait, I'm feeling the presence of the Lord. I think God might be speaking to me, right? Because I'm a flight attendant. Whatever you call them, astronaut. What's that other name? Space cadet. Thank you, Shannon. I'm always out there, man, so it's easy for me. It's easy for me to have these moments where God speaks to me. And I'm like a really like kind of emotional artist kind of guy. And I've got lots of feelings all the time. And sometimes I'll live by my feelings and it can be hard to have simple faith for me. So it took a long time for something like the gift of healing to really manifest in my life, because it's just cut and dry. You just believe it and you do it. A guy like Jamie, we've talked about this often. It was natural for him as he's growing up to just operate in faith because it was simple and he got it and he just did it. And I was just like, space cadetting. It's like, I just need a prophetic word before I can heal somebody. God needs to show me something unique in this moment before I can do anything. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't planning on talking about that, but I am. And I'm saying that to tell you that, yes, there are certain gifts that will land on a person's life that will be unique to them, that will be like a cornerstone gift of their life. But that's not the only way the Holy Spirit distributes gifts. It says that, but each one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Which means that at any time, at any moment, whenever it's needed, he could will that a certain gift would begin to manifest. You're telling me right now that, like, if I'm not like that Jeremy Nelson who's just the gift of healing, that's my thing, you know what I mean? Like, I just, if I'm not him and I encounter a moment where the love of the Father is longing to see a body restored, that gift isn't going to start to manifest in me and become an operation, right? Or if somebody needs that word of encouragement, that word of wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit, that's not going to manifest. Of course it is, because God wills at any time he wants to manifest these gifts. You know, I was tempted in this message to do like theological jujitsu, defending the prophetic and the spiritual gifts, but I was like, well, Jamie kind of already did that. You know, because as I was studying, like I don't necessarily study people who are endorsing the prophetic and the spiritual gifts to get more deep, like deeper biblical revelation of the stuff. I actually study the people that say it's not for today. And in that, I let the Holy Spirit lead me. I was like, well, now what do I believe? I let it challenge my heart and challenge my theology. So I was like, ready to do jujitsu, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, we need post-canonized divine revelation to confirm the word. You know, like all this stuff. You know, but we're not gonna do that. So what we're gonna do today, we're gonna talk about what is the prophetic, why is it important, and cast vision. Like, it's gonna be so simple. We're just gonna cast vision for what it could be like to be a prophetic people. And we're gonna get into like, how do you grow in the prophetic? What are the ways that God speaks to you on another day? But today, I just feel like we need on a base level, start to believe that this gift could be an operation in our lives on a regular basis. I'm interested to see this. Raise your hand if you, whether you were young as a person or young in the Lord, that you're growing up, you were taught that the prophetic was alive and well today. Raise your hand. Real high so you can see. Okay, so you all were taught that the prophetic was alive. Now, raise your hand if you were also taught, keep your hands up. If you were also taught that it was available and accessible to every believer. Couple hands went down. Now raise your hand if you were also taught in an environment that was healthy, where the prophetic left people empowered, healthy, whole, and healed, and not bitter and broken. Couple hands going down. I'm maybe counting 12 hands in this entire room. And you wonder why we feel like, you can put your hands down. And you wonder why we feel like we need to teach on this. See, I'm one of those people that was blessed to grow up in an environment that taught the prophetic and biblical and emotional and spiritual health. Where you left experiences with the prophetic ministry feeling encouraged. Just like it commands us that we were exhorted, that we were encouraged, that we were built up in our faith, that divine revelation would happen and it would leave me encouraged in the truth of God's word, in the truth of God's nature. And it's been so rare in the earth to see communities be raised up with the full picture where it's not just the anointed man of God that operates in it, but it's for every believer, and every believer is operating in an encouragement in the lens that they view the prophetic. No matter what they feel like they receive from the Lord, what comes out of them is straight from the love of the Father. And everything they do carries the fragrance of Christ. Every word they release carries the fragrance of his will and his desire and his longing. We want to raise up a house that teaches and empowers every believer to hear God's voice for themselves. That everyone in this room would have an active hearing, understanding, ability to interact with the voice of the Lord at any given moment. Because that's the model that Jesus gave to us. Oh, man. Okay, we're going to go just like a little bit past 11:45. Is that okay? Okay. We try to get out 11:45, but that's just not going to happen today. All right? We okay? I'm going to try to go real fast. So you just buckle up. So what do we mean when we say prophetic? Because some of you are like, oh, this sounds great. I have no idea what you're talking about. Prophetic, if you look into the Greek, if you go to 1 Corinthians 12 and you go to that word prophetic, there's three layers of root word. It's all beautiful. It's amazing. But in essence, it's an interpreter or a foreteller of the divine will. Receiving and revealing through divine revelation the desire of God. In this definition, the primary purpose, the primary definition of the prophetic is that in any moment, through divine revelation, through a spiritual capacity that every single one of you has, a spiritual capacity that through your spirit, you receive information from God himself. That you, by the blood of the Lamb, have direct access, a direct line of communication between you and God. Look at somebody and say, I can do that. Look at somebody else and say, I can do that too. You see, a lot of people have relegated the prophetic to basically just fortune telling. That what prophetic really means is to foretell, and that it means to actually look into the future and declare it before it happens. But really the prophetic, the ministry of the prophetic is deeper than that. Well, that kind of stuff can happen. The real base level translation of the prophetic is that we get access through our communication with God to his divine will, to his heart over circumstances and a situation, and whether it be about the future or the present, God gives us language to articulate and release that. And because it's his word, power gets attached to it, faith gets released, exhortation goes into a person or a situation to see the kingdom of God manifest, because that's what it's all about. The prophetic, it's not about a signs and wonders hokey show. It's about the building of the kingdom and the bold proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is all it's about. Once it becomes about anything outside of the kingdom and the gospel, it is no longer the prophetic. You have now started operating in what the psychics operate in, that divination stuff that is bad. But when it's about the gospel, when it's about seeing people encounter a God that they can't quite see, but they could hear you. They can't see him yet, but they can hear you. And your words could be so like soaked in the will of God because of this deep connection you have and this deep understanding of his language to you. Does that make sense? So when we say we want to raise up a prophetic people, that's what we mean. We want people to be able to partner with his word, his will at any given moment and release it into any situation, because that's the life Jesus modeled. John 5:19, I only do what I see my Father doing. He was Jesus. He could have just done it on his own, but something about him was still modeling because he had humanity. He was fully God, fully man, and his humanity had to operate into submission to the will of the Father. In the same way where we are fully human, we have to operate into submission of the will of the Father, the leading of the Holy Spirit today. In the chapter before that, in John 4, it's the woman at the well. I feel like most of the time when we read this, we're just picturing Jesus casually sitting completely by himself. There's nobody like in an earshot. And then this lone woman comes to this like abandoned well. And it's just the two of them. And she just is the only person there that he could minister to. So he did. But context tells us something different. Context tells us this is an actively used well, that this is a common place for people to gather. So what that means is that Jesus was surrounded by lots of people with lots of problems, but in that moment, this one woman was what the Father was emphasizing to him. See, that woman at the well experience wasn't just so she was the only one there. It was that among a crowd of people that were probably in that location, God said, that's the one. The Father said, that's what I'm doing right there. I want you to talk to her. Isn't that amazing that even Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to operate in the prophetic, so that we go our everyday lives with that same necessity, that we could be in a crowd of people, we could be in a grocery store and there's lots of people with lots of problems that God has answers to. But in a moment, God will say, that's the one I want you to minister to. We'll be with our families and we'll be at home and even like in our places where we're most comfortable and just hanging out, watching Netflix with all of our family. And the Lord will say, hey, your third child, that's the one I want you to minister to right now. It's the grace of God to highlight specifically what he's doing in a moment. Because what the prophetic does is it keeps us from just ministering out of large scale concepts and principles of the kingdom. Like we can operate in a principle that it's always God's will to heal, that he's always healing, that's always what he wants to do. And on a base level, we need to do that. But on top of our principles that it's always God's will to heal, we'll get a measure of breakthrough just operating out of that. But to get the full measure of kingdom impact and breakthrough, we need that confirmation that in the moment, obedience to Jesus that will release breakthrough, that this is the one that you're there to minister to. You see, power gets released through radical obedience. And you can't be radically obedient to a command that you haven't received. I'm going to say that again. Power gets released through radical obedience. And you can't be radically obedient to a command you've never received. And so it's the prophetic that puts you in a position where God can tell you to do things that might even stretch you. And it provokes this place of absolute dependence on him. I mean, isn't that what we all want? To live radically dependent and obedient. It says, those who love me will obey my commands. Well, half of us are missing the commands of God every day that fall in line with the scripture revealed to us, but they're the specific motions of his heart. And there's actually the prophetic, what it does is it opens up this well for you to have a greater love for Jesus, because it opens up more specific ways and detailed ways that you can love him through your obedience. Oh, that's what I want to do. I want to love God with my obedience. I would submit to you that we even need the Holy Spirit. We need this prophetic thing for our reading of scripture. I won't spend too much time on this, but 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, eye has not seen nor heard nor have entered the heart of a man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Everyone say deep things. For what man knows the things of God except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. You actually need the spirit of God to know the deep things of God. You see, in the beginnings of the church, the purpose of the prophetic and divine revelation was to actually create the word of God. Like, we needed these apostles who saw Jesus Christ, like, in bodily form, to get divine revelation from the Holy Spirit so that they could plop together the Bible for us. And then the moment that process was finished, the purpose of the prophetic started to shift, and that it was no longer about adding to the word of God, but the purpose of the prophetic was actually to give you ability to discern it, to actually have deep understanding in what was already revealed. So that means in our study, this ability to look into the scriptures with this prophetic thing happening between us and God, where you can read the scriptures and you can look over different content. And one of the translations of this of the prophetic actually means exalting one idea over another. And in the same way that, like, you can read the scriptures and you can look at the multifaceted beauty of a verse, and the prophetic spirit, the gift of the prophetic will start to awaken as you read his word, and where there could be different ways to apply that scripture to your life, the Lord will emphasize, this is the way I'm emphasizing that scripture to you in this moment. And we need that. Friends, we need that. We are desperately in need for the word of God to actually become life and revelation on the inside of us. Like, yes, the diligence of study and researching and information and using every natural means that we have to take on information and context of the scripture is important, but that's the house that revelation lives in. You do that to create a place for the Holy Spirit to then manifest on something and begin to speak to you. You see, there's this weird thing that, I don't know why we've created these two camps of these, one camp that just, like, loves the Bible and hates the prophetic, and this other camp that loves the prophetic and hates the Bible, you know? Like, that's not us. We're the camp that just absolutely merges the two, because the Bible is our foundation for living. It's the incarnate, infallible word of God, and the Holy Spirit, the prophetic, gets us deeper into what God spoke in that word. We are desperately in need to be led in our Bible reading. And the prophetic is also active for others. You don't have to turn there, but in Job 32, we're just going to go really fast now. Okay. Job 32. Y'all remember the story of Job? Righteous man. You guys okay? Are you all right? Okay.
We're just listening. We're just listening intently. That's what we're doing.
I'm just playing. I'll just play with you. Job's a righteous man. Bad things start to happen. Read the book. It's crazy. And he has three friends that come to him that all give him advice and wisdom, and it's all technically correct, but actually wrong. Right? They're just well-intentioned friends giving bad advice. And we even see that Job's perception of his own situation is bad too. It's just all bad. No one seems to know what's going on. All this terrible thing is happening to Job. I won't go into detail. These awful things. He's losing his kids. He's losing his fortune. Everything bad is happening to Job, and nobody can explain why. And then 32 chapters later, this brother named Elihu shows up. Everyone say Elihu. He's a young buck. He says, I am young in years, and you are very old. I'm going to say that to somebody, like, it's just scripture, man. I don't know. Therefore, I was afraid and dared not declare my opinion to you. I said, age should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. That's a good guy right there. Now listen to this. But there is a spirit in a man, and the breath of Almighty gives him understanding. Wait a minute. So you're saying all the wisdom, all the years of experience with God, three different people, along with Job, four different people who are old in age, full of wisdom, full of perspective on life and history, couldn't actually reason the truth about what was happening to this man, Job, but this young kid could. Why? Because the spirit of the man is meant to be breathed on with understanding. He actually got the word from God in that moment. And so he gives his whole spiel for a couple chapters, and then God, boom, starts to speak. And he rebukes everybody. Job, the three dudes, except for Elihu. He's the one guy that doesn't get rebuked because he's the one guy that actually acknowledged that there was a need for his spirit to be filled with the word of the Lord to release divine perspective. I don't want to be like Job's three friends. I don't want to encounter the difficulty in people's lives and just give my best shot at wisdom and advice. There's merit to that for sure. Like, I love that, but I'm not into like, I don't want half of what Jesus bought for me. I want the whole thing. If it's available to me, then I want it. I want it now. Gimme. That's literally how I feel about it. Like, just give it to me. I want it. If I see it and I can have it, then give it to me. And so I want the full expression of ministry to come out of me, that in any moment, I can encounter difficulty in a person's life and I have access to the Lord being able to speak through me. Here's the problem. I think most of us don't actually believe that we can do it. Like most of us don't actually believe, like we can read in Acts. I was gonna read some stories in Acts that are just crazy about the prophetic being at work. That would just blow your mind. But I think we need to do something a little differently to close this. I want to tell you my story in growing up in the prophetic. Is that okay? You got 10 more minutes for me to talk about myself? Because here's what I desperately need from all of you. I need you to, wherever you're at, bridge the gap between yourself and a life that regularly operates in the prophetic with faith and hope. I desperately need you right now to thoughtfully consider that maybe I'm talking about you. When I'm talking about a people that could be raised up in the prophetic, I'm talking about how you deal with your kids, how you deal with your job, how you deal with the person at the grocery store, how you deal with your boss. Like, I'm talking about your whole world, how you deal with your time of reading the worship, that you could be like Jesus, who in a crowd would see the one person that God was emphasizing. I desperately need you to, whatever that gap is between you and what this looks like, you need to fill it with faith right now. So I'm going to tell you my story to tell you how easy it is. So I met the Lord when I was 12 at a summer camp, hashtag revival summer camp, get there. My life was radically changed. And there's a team from England there. They prayed for me. I don't remember what they said. I just know I fell down and snotted and cried. And I grew up in church, but I knew what the presence of the Lord was like, but I was never actively engaged. I wasn't that like really good kid that just like was up in the front worshiping, you know, like just doing that. I was sitting behind my parents, angry that I had to be there, just mad. I remember being like an 11-year-old, 10-year-old kid, and my mom, I remember, I said, clear memory, us being in the garage. And she asked me about God. I just go, leave me alone. It's funny now, but at the time, that was probably hard for her. Like when your kid just like, you grew up in church and you're still just like, no, I don't want to talk about it. And then I really met him when I was 12. And I don't know what came over me, but I remember just laying hands and praying. I'd never prayed for a thing in my daggone life. My 12-year-old life. And I prayed for everything that moved in that nasty gazebo place that we were meeting for. And just poof, 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 poof. Everyone started falling and snotting just like me. And I was like, wow, that's not what I expected. I didn't know what I expected. I just felt like I had something burning on the inside of me that had to get out. And this kind of continued. My dad was overseeing the prophetic teams at our church, which was awesome. And I remember we had a big conference, and I was still 12, and there was a lady. Oh, I just remembered another story I'm going to tell you. It got me happy. And there's a lady that I saw on the ground. There's some ladies praying for her. And I didn't have, like, although I grew up in church, I didn't have all this context, like, oh, this woman is under oppression and she needs a word of the Lord to deliver her or anything like that. I just looked at her and I felt this thing burning inside of me that I didn't understand. And all I knew was I looked at her. It's the way God had to speak to a 12-year-old. And I saw her shirt was like black and white stripes this way. And in my mind, I thought, that looks like a prisoner's shirt. I think God wants to take her out of prison. Okay. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't have these expectations. I didn't see myself as this grand anything. I was just a 12-year-old kid who felt like he was on fire and I didn't know what to do. And I went to this lady and I told her that I saw your shirt. It looks like a prison shirt, which I'm sure she loved. And I said, and I feel like God is going to take you out of prison. Freaking out. And I like, don't even know what to do. I'm even feeling a little comfortable. So I just like keep my hand kind of on her for a little bit just to like be there. And I just walk away. And I see them at a conference 8 months to a year later. And the two other ladies that were there, they saw me and they right over to me. And they said, listen, do you have any idea what just happened? Do you know her? I was like, no idea who she is. They said, we have been praying for that lady for 10 years to get breakthrough. She has been like under this, which I literally didn't understand what they were saying in the moment. But now like 1,000 years later, I get it. But she was under crazy, like demonic oppression for 10 years. They were talking about how it affected her body, depression, bipolar. She could not get breakthrough. And in that moment, after 10 years of, and they said, it's not just us. Our entire church community has been declaring over this woman for 10 years with no breakthrough. And in that moment, there was breakthrough. How many know that wasn't because I was this anointed man of God with this deep well of revelation and love for God? Why did that happen? Because God spoke and I listened. And it was this simple 12-year-old thing, but the power to do that stuff is in God's word. It's when God's word agrees with your action, power gets released to see the impossible happen. Tell you one more story. This is my favorite. This absolutely defines what my growing up was like as a believer. I got in trouble a lot in school. I'm going to expose myself here. My grade point average my junior year was 0.67. All the parents' hearts just like, all the overachievers in the room just, and in middle school, I got in trouble a lot. High school, I got in trouble a lot. I was constantly in school suspension, not for fighting or anything, just for not showing up to class, not doing my work, skipping class, stuff like that. My report card just constantly said, pleasure to have in class, does not do work. That's my thing. And I was in school suspension a lot, and I had this teacher named Mr. Ashford. And I had him a few times for in-school suspension. He was cool. He was nice. And one day, I was at a church conference. And I was walking into the sanctuary and going the other way. All of a sudden, he's this very tall man. I see him, and he sees me, and he just goes, not you. Not you. It's like, yeah, this is kind of my thing, too. Along with being in school suspension, I love the Lord, and I go to conferences. Y'all are like, you can't do that. I was like, well, I did, so deal with it. And I'll never forget, I laid hands on him that night as, a 13, 12-year-old kid. I had this picture of him helping men, and I told him, and he broke down and started weeping. weeping. This dude was like 6'4", bigger than me, just all over me. I'm completely engulfed in this dude. Why? Because this, I had that thing burning on the inside of me and I just released it. I'm believing for a whole community of people to be raised up in Central Maine that can get set on fire with the word from God. And we're gonna talk about the different ways that God will speak to you, but I needed to set this precedence that God could minister through anyone, anyone. Little 12-year-old Timmy that was just willing to say something when he felt like his whole body was on fire and God was speaking. That power would get released through that, that would be like historic in people's lives. That as we're building family and community, as you guys are engaging in life groups, that it'd be more than just we connect and our hearts connect and we get great teaching, we worship, but the ability for the what God is emphasizing in a moment to be released from anybody, that it could happen. That when you go to work tomorrow, God will start saying, hey, that guy in the cubicle next to you, oh, I love him so much. Can you tell him this for me? That's the prophetic, y'all. Oh, good. You're going up there. Thanks. We're going to do a bunch of other stuff, but we're not going to do that. So why don't you stand?